Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned earlier this week, the church observes what is called Trinity Sunday. On this day, we have the opportunity to explore for us, to explore what it means for us to worship the one true God who has revealed himself to be three persons. The scriptures teach and the creeds confess that we worship a triune God. Now, to be clear, you will not find that word Trinity or triune, that word that means three in one, in the Bible. That's the word that the church has been using for ages to describe the teaching that is in the Bible, that we worship one God, but that we also worship in unity three persons who make up that one God. We hear it, for example, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that creed of the ancient Israelites, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We worship one God. In a culture in which people are tempted to place their hope in a multitude of different sources, the church has always confessed and continues to this day to confess that we worship one God. We have one hope. We have one who is the maker of all things and the giver of all good gifts. And yet, though we worship one God, we come to know from the teaching of the scriptures that this one God is also three persons. We begin to see a hint of this in the Old Testament, even in our reading in Genesis chapter 1. We hear God say in the making of man, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." That reflects the Hebrew. The pronouns there are plural. So we have one God, and yet this one God speaks in a plural way. He's not talking to the angels. We're not made in the image of God plus the angels. We're made in the image of God. In the New Testament, this plurality of persons, this three-person Godhead becomes even more clear. We see it, for example, in the baptism of Jesus. Jesus, the Son, comes out of the water. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove and alights on him, and we hear the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And of course, we hear it in the language of our gospel reading, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," just as we did today. Our God is one God. Our God is three persons. Our limited human minds will never comprehend this mystery. But we're not called to know God in the way that we like know a subject or master something like math or English or science. We're instead called to know Him. To know Him as a Father. To know Him as a Savior. To know Him as one who is ever present with us. To know Him personally as He is and as He knows us. And knowing the true God rightly and personally is not beneficial simply for its own sake, but it also helps us to come to know more and more who we are and who we are meant to be. For the scriptures say that we were made in the image of God. We're made to be reflections of Him. And it's an image that was given to us at birth but renewed in the waters of baptism for us, where God the Holy Spirit joins us to Jesus the Son in His death and the resurrection, that God the Father might look on you and me just as He looked on His own Son and say to us as He said to Him, "My Son, my daughter, my child, with whom I am well pleased." We're created to know God as He truly is, for we have been made in His image. We've been marked by His name. We're created for the glory of the Father. We're redeemed by the blood of the Son. We're renewed and shaped as new creations by the working of the Holy Spirit. And every moment of our existence, our triune God is at work. At work for your good. At work for our neighbor's good. At work for the good of the world, that we and all the creation might share in the goodness He spoke over creation from the very beginning. And that goodness, as I said, flows out of his own person. For we know about God that he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Our God is good. What he makes is good. So as people redeemed by him, we are also called to be reflections of his goodness. Not only do we rejoice that we are counted as good for Jesus' sake, but we are called to reflect his goodness, to speak and act and fight for what God has made good. For we have an enemy. We have an enemy who hates the good. We have an enemy who can't defeat God, and yet he will do whatever he possibly can to war against the goodness of everything that God has made. Our enemy, for example, will war against the goodness of life, seeking to convince us that it's disposable, that it's only worth protecting if it's viable or wanted or healthy, rather than seeing all people at all stages of life as worthy of protection. He will tempt us to live for ourselves so that instead of seeing people as fellow creatures made in the image of God to be loved, we see them as instruments, as tools for our own personal satisfaction and happiness. The enemy wars against the goodness of family, tempting us to believe that there isn't anything all that special about God's design of a husband and wife and the children with which he might bless them. From within the families, the evil one wars against husbands and wives, seeking to tempt them to forsake their callings, to forsake the promises that they made to one another in their marriage, so that he might tear the union apart. He wars against the goodness of the one flesh union, tempting us to use sex primarily as a means of pleasure and self-fulfillment, whether or not God has placed us within the bounds of marriage where that exercise belongs. He wars against the goodness of the created order, tempting us and the culture to believe that we get to decide whether or not we're a man or a woman or something else, rather than receiving and rejoicing in that which God has created and given to us. In the beginning, he made them male and female. He wars against the creation around us, tempting us on one hand to abuse the creation, to use it only for our purposes, to pollute it, or on the other hand, to elevate it to a status that is almost divine. And there are countless other ways in which the enemy tempts us to war against, to be partners in his attack against all that God has made and called to be good. But where Satan seeks to steal and kill and destroy, our triune God works for good, for the ultimate good. Jesus' life and his ministry are a full demonstration of this fact. Wherever he goes, he confronts the not goodness of our lives, the not goodness of the world around us, the effects of sin in all of its forms, to make us in all things good again. Where people are enslaved to lies, Jesus comes and he speaks the truth that sets us free. Where people suffer under the weight of the curse, which breaks down our bodies, Jesus comes and brings healing, restoring sight for the blind, hearing for the deaf, speech for the mute, mobility for the crippled, freedom for the demon-possessed, and even life to the dead. And when it's time to face head-on the source of all the world's not goodness, sin, and the power of death, Jesus courageously takes those things upon himself and undoes their power at the cross, so that the world, you and I, might hear that declaration of good once more, that goodness that began anew on that day that Jesus rose again from the dead. And in his great compassion and mercy, he has marked you as good. You've been joined to the risen King in baptism, just as Callan and Brooks were this very morning. And you've been commissioned to carry forth his goodness into the world by the power of his Spirit. And so we share Christ and we make His love known, and we engage our callings with integrity and energy. For these are the venues which God has given us to love one another and to honor the goodness with which He has made those around us. And we speak and we act in defense of what is good, the goodness of life, the goodness of individuals and families, the goodness of God's created order as men and women made in His image, the goodness of the creation around us and all other things that God has made good. And as we do so, we reflect the goodness and the love of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, our Savior, and our ever-present Advocate and Comforter. All glory be to our God forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds this day and always in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.